is Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
5 o'clock refresh is brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light, made to chill. Phone lines are there for you, Seahawks fans. Let's hear from you. You guys can text in as well. A lot of texts coming in, but the phone lines are there for you. Want to get your thoughts on the Seahawks' new offensive coordinator. Are you excited? Do you feel like he was the right choice? Did you have your heart set on Pep Hamilton, Dorsey, some of the other names that were being thrown around much more? Do you think the offense is going to look completely different? We're going to look like the Rams next year. Does that excite you? I think most people feel like this is going to look exactly like the Rams offense, even though he wasn't the offensive coordinator.
Maybe there'll be a few tweaks there. Maybe a little more. We did see fly, you know, Professor pointed this out. We did see the fly sweep. As a matter of fact,
David Moore,
in Atlanta was the very first one, I think, was David Moore. And that was the one that he fumbled and then picked it up and cut it back inside. And if it had gone outside, it would have been because they had it sniffed out.
Yeah, so give us a call, Seahawks fans, 421-3776, toll-free, 866-979-3776. Do you like this hire? Are you disappointed? Or do you feel like some that were texting in earlier that were very cynical, saying, yeah, as soon as Pete gets in there, he's going to mess it up, and he's going to blame it on this guy. I'm like, wow.
Since when is Pete responsible for screwing everything up? You know, last time I checked, he's a pretty darn good coach. 9 of 11 of his seasons here in Seattle going to the next level. You know, I was going through and looking at all of, you know, Brady's postseason appearances, and they were saying yesterday that in his career, I think it was – he had a better chance of going to a Super Bowl than Seth Curry had of hitting a three-point shot or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just it's ridiculous how many times. But, you know, and I'm sure they were complaining when they lost. You know, they won the Super Bowl in 2014, but before that, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, lost wild card, lost division, lost Super Bowl, lost conference. So, I mean, I'm sure there was lots of complaining going on there, and Belichick's head was on the table and everybody ready to chop it off, and Tom Brady's no good anymore. We're kind of becoming that a little bit. And I'm not trying to tell people don't text in and don't be irrational. That's what being a fan is about, but just a little perspective.
Yeah.
Maybe you could give Pete Carroll a little bit of a break.
Yeah, some texts are coming in, and for those of you on the phone lines, we'll get to your calls here momentarily. By the way, I should tell you, coming up at the end of this segment, we're going to turn you over to Cougar basketball. So we're going to cut things a little short today. So try to get as many of your calls and texts in. 253, I never want to see a bubble screen again, says the 253.
Okay, they're talking about the smoke screen. What was the stat you had on that earlier?
That was the first interception of the entire season, and there were
750
some attempts.
Yeah,
all teams combined, and that was the first time that was picked off.
Right. Did the Rams ever get it picked off?
Nobody did except for the Seahawks. That was the only one.
Well, I'm just saying, like last year and the year before. I mean, that's not been a problem for them the way that they run it.
Yeah. 253 says, you guys don't hold him accountable, though. I guess they're talking about Pete.
What would it mean for me to hold Pete accountable? What would that look like?
It would sound like you going, Pete screwed up this offense. He meddled. When the turnover started, he got in the way. He said he went in there and tried to pull the reins back, and that threw everything off. That would be you holding him accountable.
Yeah.
But we've already said that.
But again, you know, we could go back and – you know, I just feel like Pete is an expert, and I'm not saying he's beyond question, but I just think that there's a lot of things if people knew what was going on and what's behind the scenes. Again, Pete will sometimes take credit for things for his assistants.
Yeah.
I was talking to Moyer about this, and he said it all the time, Chuck Knox. And he'd say, now, when he get you back in the room, he's going to rip
you
a new one.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll let you hear about it.
Just
but
not publicly.
He's going to go up and say, that was my fault. I'm the head coach.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's some of that going on, too. And I think people are taking his word for it, you know, when he's just trying to kind of fall on the sword here. So there's that. And then just the very frustrating way, and I get this part, the very frustrating way that they lost that last game, the wild card loss.
It was brutal.
It was brutal.
Yeah. 206 says, I love the hire until he loses a game for us, then I'll hate him. Sounds about right. Yeah. All right, let's head to the phone lines. Let's see. Evan in Puyallup has been waiting patiently. Evan, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
What do you think, man? You like the hire?
Yeah, I like the hire. I think it'll be, personally, I think it'll be good in a lot of ways. I think it'll make our offense more diverse with, you know, different levels of the passing game. But as well, I think the guy could maybe bring some added insight for defense of why somehow Jared Goff looks like he's a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback whenever he plays the Seahawks for some reason. So maybe he can give us some insight on why they always do so good against us that way. But as an offensive coordinator, he's never called plays before, but I think he's seems promising, and we'll have to wait and see, but I'm excited.
All right, Evan, appreciate the phone call. That opens up a line, 421-3776, toll-free 866-979-3776. And he echoed what I thought right away, and it was a weird thought to have when I heard it, is, oh, cool, he'll be able to, you know, tell them how they scouted the defense and what where all these holes were. You know, instead of thinking about what he was going to mean to the offense right out of the gate, I'm thinking, this is a guy who schemed for this defense three times this past season and two times every year before that. He could tell Pete and more importantly, Ken Norton, hey, guys, here's what we were looking at on film, what you guys didn't do well. Here's how we exploited this on third down in the middle of the field every time.
Right.
So,
well, and by the way, 206, maybe one of the best texts in a long time. He said, we need the Rams' defense, not their offense.
Fair point.
Yeah, I mean, that is, we're totally ignoring, you know, what happened in the first half. And again, I gave them credit in the second half. And even though they played,
you're talking defense.
Yeah, defensively. Yeah. Even though they played the number 30, number 31, and number 32 ranked offenses in the Jets, Giants, and Washington football team. But, I mean, there's a lot to address there. I mean, we're very distracted by this whole offensive coordinator thing. There's a lot of stuff that needs to be done there.
Well, as we've said over and over, if not for Shoddy in this offense, we're not talking about a playoff. We're talking about maybe the highest draft pick they've had in years.
Yeah.
But they would have traded it away, obviously, in Jamal Adams. So the Jets would be in a great position with a Seahawks draft pick, because they would have been a below 500 team if not for that offense playing the way that it did.
Well, and again, I wonder if you'd swapped the season where they were dynamite defensively in the beginning and not great offensively. Now, who knows how many games they would have won. But if you finish off with the first half of the season on defense – and those are the last eight games.
We're talking about Ken Norton.
Yeah, we're talking about a defensive coordinator instead of an offensive.
Shoddy's
still there.
Yeah, possibly. Shoddy would still be there.
Yeah.
Let's see. Mount Vernon is where Bob is calling from. Hello, Bob.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the phone call.
You got it, man. What do you think? You like this?
I got to say this. They got their coordinator, you know, and it's done. Okay, I look at it as that respect. I'd kind of like to have had, I don't know if Doug Peterson would have downgraded to take the job, but I think he would have been the perfect fit. But the idea of taking this guy from a division rival was that's something that you can't beat, especially the Rams. So, yeah, I think it's a good hire. But like I said, if Peterson would have been available or taken down instead of trying to get another head coaching job, I really believe he would have had he would have got Russell Wilson with all his tools around him. We get some offensive lineman help. He would have, we're talking Kansas City Chiefs time now.
Yeah, potentially.
Let's see what the guy from LA does.
Yeah. Appreciate the call, Bob. Sure. From what I've heard that Peterson's going to take the year off.
Was that right?
Yeah, that's what I've been reading and hearing, that they had talked to him about this, but the interest wasn't really there on his end. Yeah. So, I mean,
I'm looking at the best case scenario here, and being, you know, the most positive about it is that Shane Waldron is able to run something that looks a lot like what the Rams run, which, again, is not entirely different. There's a lot of motion, things like that. But don't you think that with that Russell can put the magic in that offense? I mean, he's much more than Jared Goff. I mean, if they're getting it done. Now, I'm just going to go ahead and assume, Bob, I told you this before the show, like, well, how much does a footprint does he have on that offense down there? Like, I'm just assuming it's going to be he was part of everything. and he was responsible for all of their play calling, even though he didn't call plays. But, I mean, you know, those concepts, you know, maybe it was a dynamite interview. Maybe it was like the Brandon Staley, Sean McVay.
Yeah, young guy that's not known. And, you know.
And he's 41. And, you know, and his coaching, you know, history is.
New England, Washington.
Yeah,
LA.
But I mean, he was like quality control coach for New England. And then he was the Patriots tight end coach in 2009. Then he went to the Hartford Colonials and was a wide receiver coach in 2010. I mean, he was at UMass 2014 and 15 as an offensive line coach. Mm. Then he coached tight ends and coached tight ends with the Rams. And then he was the passing game coordinator, which Bob is on a quest to find out exactly what that is.
I need to know. I got to know what is
Bob
that.
Bob has asked everybody that.
No, we get different answers from everybody.
Well, you do. So, I mean, I think it's a good question. So, and we'll see what that means here. And I think it means different things, different places.
Yeah, you're right. All right, let's head to Mill Creek and bring in Corey. Welcome to the show, Corey.
Thanks, fellas.
What do you think? You like the hire, or did you have your heart set on somebody else?
I didn't have any expectations of who we'd hire based on the time frame it was taking. I have hope for this offensive coordinator because he doesn't really have a lot of bad habits, I think, because he hasn't been an offensive coordinator before. My hope is that he can get the best out of Russell Wilson and maybe do some more RPOs in critical situations like 3rd and 2, 3rd and 1, and maybe change the tempo during the game. Like Aaron Rodgers does in Green Bay, by keeping the defense on their heels and not really be able to sub in or out at any given opportunity.
Bob likes tempo.
I like that, Corey.
You're speaking his language, Corey.
You are speaking my language. Appreciate the phone call. I love the idea of switching up the tempo. Man, that was the – if I could pick out one thing that drove me nuts, and there are a lot of things, you know, you could point to plays that didn't work, that they'd continue to run, whatever, just how predictable just the tempo was. And that wasn't the case earlier in the season, and it just – it seems to energize the offense, and it's not do it every down. We're a fast tempo all the time. No. Within one drive, you could, hey, we're going to milk the clock, or we're going to burn the clock down to the, you know, 3-2-1 on this play, and then we're going to hustle to the line next play just to keep the defense from subbing, keep them on their toes.
Yeah.
I just thought it was really
Shane Waldron
effective.
Was the candidate in our game that said he likes to start fast, and you liked it, and Dave wasn't so sure.
Who said that?
Shane Waldron was the quote that said they like to start fast.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Well, I'll just go on record. If he happens to suck next year, I'll just go, well, I told you.
He'll be going, Bob, what's up with the tempo?
I didn't touch that guy with a 10-foot pole. Well, how many times I thought it was kind of funny that Arians, well, whoever's, you know, maybe it was Leftwich, kind of stuck it to the Packers by getting them with too many men on the field. And actually, it was Snacks Harrison.
Yeah.
And the coach, LaFleur, gave him an earful. Not too much, because Snacks could probably just hit you over the head with his fist and you'd die. So, yeah, I mean, they never did that. We never had that kind of thing going. So I get that. Yeah, the tempo part of it is good. And I'll tell you this, as a defender, I mean, I like to line up, see where everybody is. It's 12 personnel, you know, strong left, this and that. And then you feel like you settle into your position. If it's all of a sudden, hurry up, and you might not see everything.
Yeah.
You know?
I just love the idea of just – it doesn't even mean the play call's exotic or crazy creative or anything. It's just disrupting a rhythm.
Yeah.
It's disrupting what the defense is getting used to. They find themselves in a rhythm. And, okay, here we go. Here's the play clock, 10, 9, 8. I mean, you just have a sense of when things are going to happen. I think if you can just have that element.
It's kind of the same concept as sudden change. Mm-hmm. You know, when you get a takeaway – a lot of offenses will take a shot right off the get-go. You know, you get an interception. You know, Devin White gets a pick in the Super Bowl. And
you love Devin.
Yeah, I'm just using him as an example, Bob. I couldn't think of anybody else. And and then Tom Brady brings his offense on the field first play because the defense is like, oh, I mean, this happened a lot in 1992. I always say in 92, I never finished an entire glass of Gatorade on the sidelines. And then, you know, I either drank half of it or spiked it in the ground. Like, okay, we got to get back out on the field because all the turnovers. But yeah, it's something that does get you. It's the same concept as that you're just sort of unsettled. You're not expecting, you're not in a groove like you just described. There's definitely something to that, but you got to really know what you're doing. You got to be really efficient in your plays and your execution. And I do worry about the lack of practice time. It does put them a little bit behind the eight ball with the same structure as it was last year as far as COVID goes.
Yeah, if you're asking them to do something new that just hasn't been part of the offense, whether it's something as simple as tempo, not even new plays or new terminology, just, hey, we're going to speed up, we're going to slow down here, we're going to speed up here. They're not used to that. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
You know what, really quick before we get somebody else. Jake said this today, too. Jake Heaps with Jake and Stacy. And then we heard Mark Schlarth say this last week, or maybe it was earlier in the week, but he said, try to take 12 or 13 throws off of Russ's plate where it's a super easy read. And it just, it doesn't, every throw doesn't have to be difficult.
Just a confidence builder.
Exactly. And whether it's a bubble screen or smoke screen or a, you know, check down or whatever, just, you know, you're going to be able to get that. Maybe it only gets you 5-6 yards, but so that's still good.
Mm-hmm. Out to Seattle, Brandon has been waiting patiently. Hello, Brandon.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
It's going good. Well, man.
I'm encouraged by the hire. My first thing is that I'm going to extrapolate Jake's reaction to be at least similar to Russell's. So I'm going to assume Russell is encouraged and excited also. And that's a positive sign to me, at least towards maximizing the most of his talents. And then the other thing, the Rams, I'd say their biggest strength on offense has been their short and mid-range passing game, which is really our biggest weakness. So it's a great fit there, too. And as long as Russ and Pete are happy there, I will be happy, too. I'm not going to pretend like I had a big board of coordinator hires.
Yeah, all right, Brandon. Appreciate the call. And you're
Brandon,
right.
That set you apart from the other texters and people that call
in. They've got a board at home.
Yeah, they were all over this. This is a really terrible hire. It's really good. I've been saying this from the beginning.
Yeah, this is, I mean, any move they made, you had to believe Russell's at peace with and definitely on board with because of how he stated his involvement with it. That it was going to, oh, yeah. Pete and I have talked a lot about that, even John. They included John.
You're not going to let that one go.
I thought it was funny.
Yeah, me and Pete were talking about it, and John, too.
Yeah, John, too. We let him in on the convo. But you have to believe that he was a part of this, gave a thumbs up, not that he's the final decider or anything, but that he's happy about this. I doubt he said, hey, Pep Hamilton is my guy. I want him. And they went, well, too bad because we're going with this guy. I don't see that happening.
You know, somebody texted in 253, how will Waldron stop Aaron Donald? Have you ever seen, what's the prison football team movie?
Longest Yard.
Longest Yard.
Yeah.
Remember where Burt Reynolds says, let the guy come through the line and
hit him in the seeds?
Hit him right in the stones with the pass. That's how you stop Aaron Donald.
Doesn't do much for moving the ball down the field, but it is fun.
Yeah, but it would be a good, valuable, incomplete pass.
Yeah. Out to Tacoma, Dan is with us. Hello, Dan.
Howdy, guys. Hey, I honestly am bothered by this discussion, and I got to tell you that, you know, you look back at Schottenheimer, and I have an organization, and you get good people, really quality people, and you lose those kind of people, and it hurts. And I don't think that we've said enough good things about the man that Schottenheimer is, the man Schottenheimer was, what he did for this offense, what he did for the relationship with Russ, and what he created. And I think we're mighty short-sighted. When we look at this, and all of a sudden, you know, Pete has made it clear that he's uncomfortable, you know, with the turnovers. Well, also, we had some pretty severe injuries that coincided with those turnovers. But Pete, I think, can be guilty of micromanaging and jumping into a situation and grabbing control and creating confusion, and we look confused. And why is that? To me, Pete has got to look at himself and decide, listen, pal, come on. You've got to give your guy some creative control over this. And if your quarterback's happy, stay out of the way and let this offense flow. I'm very bothered by how quickly we've said goodbye to Shoddy, who was an absolute quality individual. Anytime you listened to him or heard what he had to say, the comments Russ had to say about him.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Got excited about a new direction.
Yeah, but interesting the loyalty for Schottenheimer.
We scored 20 points in that game. And that was good enough to win, you know, 2 weeks ago. We have to look at what the defense has done. And I don't think there's any quick fix here with respect to this offensive coordinator, this kid coming in. Yeah. I think that Pete is going to have to start answering a little bit more. So that's my comment.
All right, Dan, appreciate the phone call. And I don't think he's wrong. I mean, we talked about it when this move was first made. I hated it. Said, listen, Shoddy was the offensive coordinator for the first half of the season. When this offense was unlike any other offense in the history of the organization, they set a record this year. And obviously he's the biggest part of that, the offensive coordinator. So,
yeah, I always have sympathy for coaches that get fired. you know, it's always tough. So I don't think we've been, you know, we're just looking forward. And he's right, you know, that first half of the season probably would.
We all loved him. We all loved
all
what we were watching.
Pretty good.
Yeah, we all loved what we were watching. And they, again, this was a record-setting offense this year. He was your coordinator. So did he all of a sudden become dumb? No, I think it became a tug of war. I think obviously when you have that kind of success and then all of a sudden he's on to new things, there's disagreement. So there you go. This is a conversation that will continue. Meanwhile, it's time for Cougar basketball. Washington State taking on Colorado, the Buffaloes. I want to thank Lindsay Theory and John Clayton for joining us on the program. We're going to be back tomorrow right here with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.